And that was a Paul, that was a Luke, and that was a Timothy, all right? So there's your 3 points tonight, but I'm not using Luke, all right? I believe there's three people that we need in our life, and that's going to be Paul, Onesiphorus, and Timothy, all right? And that's what I want to talk about tonight. That's what we're going to kind of focus on. I called Brother Brent up, and I said, hey, man, I said, tell me about that thing. Did you put a sermon together on it? He said, no. He said, somebody just told me about that when I was a preacher or a young preacher, and he said that he told me that those were three things that every preacher needed in his life. And I said, well, you know what? I think that's three things every Christian needs in their life. All right, is everybody all right? That's three people that every Christian needs in their life. And so we want to take a look at that tonight. I'm going to take a look at those three individuals, all right? And we're going to go down right straight, just like I said it. We're going to start off with Paul. Then we're going to go to Onesiphorus. And my wife's eating in the auditorium. Oh, I'm sorry. I just thought I'd call you out. I'm in that calling out mood tonight, all right? And anyhow, y'all know that there's no food, no drinks in the auditorium. And here my Holy Ghost number two is up here eating in the middle of the service. And so anyhow, just do whatever you got to. I hadn't ate, but I mean, that's fine. It's okay. You, as long as you're, you know, filling your belly. I think there's something in the Bible about filling your belly and doing all that stuff. But anyhow, all right. And I'm just picking on my wife, by the way. And but anyhow, let's get going in this thing, all right? Because I do have a lot of scripture, and I'm going to try to get you to I hope and pray that we can get through here and get you out here at a decent time, all right? So three people we all need in our lives. How many of you know that we need people in our life? They got a song out, and I don't know, maybe you've heard it. It says, long as I got King Jesus, I don't need nobody else. That's a lie. I need somebody to help me, all right? The Bible says that it's not good for man to be alone, all right? So I praise the Lord that we have King Jesus, but even God himself said it's not good for man to be alone. So each one of us, we need each other. Amen? I need somebody to say amen more than three people, all right? All right, so let's take a look at Paul first, all right? Everybody in their life, everybody needs a Paul in their life, all right? Let's talk about Paul and his testimony, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, and in verse number 1, Paul says this, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ, all right? If you want to turn in your Bible, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, or 2 Timothy chapter number 1. How about that? All right, we're going to get there eventually. Like I said, this is different, but I was looking for a passage of scripture, and I can't find it, and it's eating me up right now. I ain't going to lie to you, all right? But anyhow, we're going to start off with Paul's testimony. Every one of us needs a Paul. Paul's testimony was to be a follower of him. All right, what does that mean to you? Hey, let's talk about it. All right, this might be a 3-hour sermon. It's on y'all, okay? But he said this, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. He said this, brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. Philippians chapter number 3, verse number 17, he says, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which also are which walk so as ye have us for an example. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 9 says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So every one of us needs a Paul in our life as an example. Do you agree with that or not? Amen. All right. The fact of the matter is that all your friends and the people that you look up to are not to your spiritual level, then you're depriving yourself of a opportunity to grow in Christ, right? So we all have to have a Paul in our life. And in Paul's testimony was this, what you see in me, do. Now I want to ask you a question. Can you say that to somebody else? Now, before you start jumping all over that, just know this: a lot of people know you. You know you. So, before you start throwing that out there, hey, I want you to really think about it. Are you the type of person that can say, "Hey, follow me, do what I do"? When it comes to the Christian walk, if not, we got people shaking their head on the front row. I'm calling them out. They're going to be on the altar, aren't we? Hallelujah, Miss CC. Amen. All right. So, their testimony. Not only that, but I notice this about Paul, his maturity. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse number 10, I want you to listen to what Paul says. He says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation of another buildeth their own. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. So, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse number 10, the foundation that Paul laid was Christ. He was mature enough that it wasn't about him. It was about, I need somebody to help me. This is good stuff, whether you like it or not. I know it's different. I know we're going to be all over the place and all over the Bible. But if you look at his testimony, he said, be ye followers of me. In other words, what Paul said is, I'm going to live what I preach. And you need somebody like that in your life. You need somebody that you can look up to and somebody that you can follow as an example. Now, praise the Lord, we have the leadership we have here at the church. I think that you can follow some of our leadership here at the church. I think God's put somebody up here on this pulpit right now that's looking at you and talking to you right now that you can follow and learn from. All right? So, we see their testimony. We see their maturity. They're not out. He was not out to build himself up. He was not out to build his ministry up. He said, I've laid a foundation. And the foundation that he laid was Jesus Christ. And as long as you're on the foundation of Jesus Christ, then if somebody fails, you keep going. I need somebody to help me. So he said, I've laid a foundation, all right, as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, all right? Now, he said, I want you to notice this, their authority. Now, this is where you ain't going to like it. Is everybody all right? But in Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 21. Now, ladies, y'all hang with me, all right? Because in chapter number 5 and verse 22 is where y'all supposed to submit to your husbands. But before we get there, the Bible says this, we're to submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So you have to have somebody in your life that's an authority. Thank you, Brother Scott. I appreciate you being on board with this, all right? Nobody else is, but I appreciate you, all right? I want you. Why? Because we don't want anybody to be an authority over us. But the Bible says that we're to submit to one another, all right? Now, that doesn't take away from rank. Is everybody all right? See, we got this idea, well, preacher, you need to submit to me. That ain't how it works. There's three of you that said amen, all right? All right, I got Bible for it, all right? The Bible says this in Hebrews chapter number 13, verse number 17, obey them that have the rule over you. All right, now that doesn't make sense. If I'm supposed to submit to you, then that doesn't make sense that if God's put me here to help you and to lead you, then it doesn't make sense that I'm to submit. I need somebody to help me. And if I'm submitting to you, then hey, preacher, I don't want you to preach on my sin, so don't be doing that no more. I'll submit to you and I ain't going to preach the Bible. All right, there's a rank set up. God's put somebody in your life. You may not like it, but that's how God set things up. I need somebody to say amen. I need some wives to say amen because God set an order in the home too. Now, I ain't going to step away from the Bible. I'll be right here. God set up an order in the home too. No matter how much you don't like it, it doesn't change. Hey, I asked this question the other night. Does the fact that, Jeremy, you better be careful. I don't know what just happened over there, but it looks dangerous, all right? Hey, I don't care. Truth, just because you disagree with what truth is doesn't change that it's truth. And the Bible says that you're to submit to your husband. All right? Hey, the Bible says, Michelle, should I? I think I should. The Bible says this, that the husband is to love the wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Man, I heard something, man. I mean, told me and Michelle slap out of the frame. Got to talking about old Adam in the Garden of Eden. And Eve, the Bible says that Eve partook of the fruit. But the Bible says this, that Adam was not deceived. It says Eve was deceived, but Adam was not deceived. And you know what we do? We look at Adam and we say, you know what, you dirty dog, you knew better and you went right on and you done it. And now because of you, everybody's in sin. But I want you to, is everybody all right? I ain't never heard this before, not like this, but it was good. And this is what it said. Adam said, I love Eve so much that I'm willing to go through the punishment that she did, and he willingly took of it because that's how he loved his wife. And that's how a husband, I need somebody to help me. That's how a husband ought to love their wife. Instead of sitting back and saying, oh, you messed up. God's going to be mad at you. Adam said, hey, look here. I'll take whatever punishments do her too. Whoop! Is everybody all right? Now, if you want to love your wife like that, she might submit to you. Now, don't get all happy about it. You still have a responsibility to submit whether he does it or not. Is everybody all right? I need somebody to help me. It doesn't change. Truth doesn't change just because you want it done. I need somebody to help. I'm having fun tonight, all right? I got Bible for it. We're to submit. All right, God has set an order. He set an order in the church. God has set an order in the home. God has set an order in your job. You don't go in there to your job and tell the boss man, this is what I'm going to do. If you don't like it, you can go home. There's an order set. Hey, a private don't walk up to a general and say, this is how it's going to be, man. You understand? Is everybody all right? God set up an order. All right, and once we realize that, hey, it's for our benefit. And we're not to rule. I'm not to rule over you, and I'm not going to beat you down and hammer you this, that, and other. You got to get that junk out of your mind. All that is a rebellious spirit that don't want to do what you're supposed to do, and that's submit to the teaching of those that God's put over you. God's put me over this church. I need somebody to help me right here. The vision that God has for this church comes through this man. I think we need to understand that, but I also think you got to have somebody in your life like that. You got to have somebody in your life that you submit to their authority, and I have those people in my life. There's preachers that I submit to their authority. Now, at the end of the day, I'm going to answer for what I do to God, but there's an order set, and God has placed these men in my life for a purpose, and that purpose is to lead me and to be an example to me. And every one of us has those people in our life, or we should. Is everybody all right? Listen, if you ain't got no authority in your life, this is what it's called, mutiny. All right? I need somebody to say amen. Don't get mad at the preacher because I'm preaching something you don't like. If it's Bible, then it's Bible. All right? Is everybody all right? All right, so we see his testimony. He said, be followers of me. We see his maturity. It wasn't about him. He was trying to help. He was laying a foundation of God, and he wanted to see them, which we're going to get into that. Which is my next point, their passion. Paul's passion was in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 19, he said, again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you? We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. Paul said, this thing ain't about me getting gain. He says it's about you becoming a better person. He says this in Philippians chapter number 3 and verse number 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. He wasn't interested in the material things of the world. He was interested in growing spiritually. Is everybody with me? We all need that kind of person in our life. Now, having that sign of person... Having that kind of person in our life is very convicting. I need somebody to help me. When you have somebody in your life, this is what you call them. Oh, he's just one of them holier-than-thou people. But the fact is that you need somebody like that in your life. Because if you have a bunch of CCs in your life, you're going to be, I need somebody to help me. Right? Trouble. He said it, not me. I was just kind of leading him to it, all right? But seriously, I'm just picking on Cece, all right? She's all right. I mean, but you don't want more than one. Right? Now, I need somebody else to say amen. You don't want more than one Robbie Harrington either, all right? One's enough. Amen? All right, so here's the thing. We got to have somebody that we can look up to and somebody that's going to be an example and somebody that's going to pull us up, not pull us down. You've got to have that in your life. That might be your preacher. That might be your Sunday school teacher. That might be somebody in the church that you can look up, an older saint of God, whatever that may be. That you've got to have that person in your life. And they're hey, Paul, he wasn't in this thing for gain. There's a lot of preachers. I need somebody to say amen. There's a lot of preachers that are in this thing for gain. Paul wasn't. He wanted to see them grow spiritually. He wanted to see them stronger in their faith. And he wanted to, he was an example to them. And so we see Paul. We see the testimony of Paul. We see the maturity of Paul. We see the authority of Paul. We see the passion of Paul. But we see the accountability. Is everybody all right? I want you to listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 2. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinance as I delivered them unto you. It was almost as if Paul was saying, hey, I'm going to be checking up on you. Let me just read some more verses, all right? All right, 2 Thessalonians 3 and 4. The Bible says, 3, verse number 4, "And we have confidence in the Lord touching you that ye both do and will do the things which we command you." For 2 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse number 5, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make foolproof thy ministry." 2 Corinthians 13, verse number 5, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate." You know what Paul was saying? You know what Paul's ministry was? Paul was to hold people accountable. We need somebody, I'm going to go over here. We need somebody in our life like a Paul that not only is he going to teach us, not only is he going to lead us by an example, not only is he going to be a mature person in our life and his passion is going to be for our good, but we need somebody that's going to hold us accountable. We don't like that, but we need it. We need somebody that's going to call us up and say, "Hey, I missed you Sunday. Where were you? Hey, I missed you Wednesday night. Where were you? Hey, I've noticed that you're missing church a lot more than you used to. I'm just wanting you to know I'm worried about you. Is everything all right?" We need somebody to say, "Hey, are you praying like you're supposed to? Are you reading your Bible like you're supposed to?" We need to be held accountable. Now, we don't like that. We don't like accountability. We want to be able to do things and be able to lie about it. I need somebody to tell me, "Hey, how many times have you lied in church? I'm praying for you." Really? Were you? We made ourselves out to be something that we're not, but for the we don't want to be shamed or ashamed of the fact that we're not what we... I need somebody to help me. It's all got to do with accountability. And we need that person in our life. Whether we like it or not, everybody, myself included, I need this person in my life that's going to hold me accountable. I need this person in my life that's going to set an example for me and that's going to walk and lead me. I need this person in my life who thinks that his intent is for my betterment. Do you have somebody like that in your life? I hope you think you do. I hope you believe you have one in a preacher. But you can have somebody else other than just the preacher. And we need these people in our life. This is a person that you have got to have in your life. Somebody that is willing to be the example, is willing to hold you accountable, is willing to teach you and to pour into you and help you strengthen your faith. You got to have that person. You agree? All right. Is there anybody that doesn't agree? Scaredy cats. All right. All right. So we all need a Paul. Do we agree with that? All right. So I let me say this. If you don't have a Paul, then find one. I'll say it again. If you don't have a Paul, find one. And like I said, I hope you understand my position and what God has done as far as putting me up here, but I may not be the one that can hold you accountable. It might have to be somebody you're sitting on a pew with or a chair with. Everybody all right? Amen. Anybody got any questions? I'm serious. I'll open it up right here. I'm ready. I got that call-out move tonight. Anybody ready? I ain't talking about I ain't being mean with you. I'm just saying, anybody got any questions about it? Do you agree with that? I think it's important. I think we've lost that. I think our desire to be independent has overrode every bit of truth that we've ever been taught in the Bible. We see we need a Paul. But we need an Onesiphorus, all right? Hey, where do you find Onesiphorus? I want you to take a look at 2 Timothy chapter number 1 with me, all right? 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Is that the first time y'all's ever heard that name? How many of that's the first time you ever heard that name? All right, I've preached tons of messages on Onesiphorus, all right? All right. All right, y'all stay with me. Verse number 16, the Bible says, "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well." So Paul had somebody in his life, even though he was in a place of authority, Paul had somebody in his life that was an Onesiphorus. Who's an Onesiphorus? This is what I think. All right, everybody read me? Are ready? Proverbs chapter number 27, verse number 17 says this, "Iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." Right? All right? Bible also says this. This is Paul speaking in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse number 33. He says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. All right? So, there's two types of, with an Onesiphorus, it's two types of people. There's somebody that sharpens you and makes you better. And then the Bible says evil communications corrupt good manners. It ain't talking about evil speaking. It's talking about evil company. Is everybody all right? Ruh-roh. That means that the people you hang out with, you better be careful and you better make sure you got an Onesiphorus and you ain't got somebody that's going to evil communication. All right? Or evil company. How many of you know this? You got to have good people in your life. Not only you have to have somebody in authority in your life, you have to have a Paul, but you got to have some good people in your life as far as friends go. You got to have somebody that's going to edify you, somebody that's going to build you up, somebody that's going to make you sharper, somebody that's going to make you stronger. Not somebody that's going to corrupt you and bring you down. Is that right? All right, so let's look at Onesiphorus right here in chapter number 1 of 2 Timothy. What do we notice about him? I notice first off, he's someone that encourages you in the faith. The Bible says this, for oft he refreshed me. Huh? Do you have somebody like that in your life? I need somebody to say amen if you do. Okay, that's only two or three of you. All right. All right, so listen, you know what most of us have in our life? I'm sorry. I'm finna hurt some people's feelings. Most people in your life, you count on Facebook to encourage you. So you jump on Facebook because that's all your friends. And then what do you get into when you get on Facebook with all your friends? I need somebody to help me. What is it? Drama. So all day long you're bombarded by a bunch of drama. Who do you have in your life that's calling you up and say, hey man, I want you to know I'm praying for you and I love you? Who do you have in your life that's texting you and saying, hey, I want you to know something. You've been on my mind today and I have been praying for you and I love you. Is there anything that I can do for you? What can I do? And hey, they ain't calling to ask you what can you do for me? They're calling to say, hey, what can I do for you? Do you have somebody like that in your life? Because we all need somebody like that in our life. And let me just go ahead and throw this out there. Maybe what you need to do with Facebook is shut that thing down for a little while and figure out what friends are nothing but drama and what friends are strengthening you, right? Because everybody needs an Onesiphorus in our life, and if all you got in your life is evil communication or drama and everything else at every turn, then it's time for you to shut something down and find somebody. I need somebody to help me. Now I say, how do I find somebody like that? First off, you got to be somebody like that. If you can't be somebody like that, then you ain't gonna find somebody like that, because nobody wants to be around somebody that's always negative. If all you are a drama, then nobody else wants to hang around with you. And nobody's going to call you to encourage you because they might get drugged down into your swamp of drama. I need somebody to say amen. This is good preaching. I don't care if you like it or not. You got to have somebody that encourages you. And so how do I find somebody that's going to encourage me? Be an encouragement to somebody else. Hey, you know what you want to do? Call somebody tomorrow and say, hey, I want you to know something. I sincerely love you and I care about you and I want you to know that I am praying for you. Man, it might change your life, and it definitely is going to change their life. Brother Aaron Redfern, many of y'all don't even know him. I'm calling people out, Brother Aaron. I'm sorry, all right? Brother Aaron, many of y'all may not even know Brother Aaron, but I'm going to tell you something. That man right there is faithful. Every week he sends me a text message telling me how much he loves me and he's praying for me. Is everybody all right? He ain't teaching a Sunday school class in here. I ain't doing this to get him a hand clap of praise. I'm telling you, that man right there is an encouragement to me. Brother, I appreciate it, because you know what? Everybody thinks in here that everybody does that, and they don't. You're the only one that sends me that kind of stuff. Well, not the only one. Miss Suzanne Coker, she sends it to me too, but normally it's like midnight, and I don't see it till the next day. But serious, I'm as serious as I can be. It means something to me. You're ministering to me. That's my Onesiphorus right there. Somebody that's strengthening me. Does everybody understand? And hey, if you want to be that and you want that in your life, then you're going to have to be that to somebody else. But we all need that person in our life. How do I be that person? Hey, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Care about somebody other than ourselves. Write down a name up on your mirror that ain't yours. If somebody encourages you in the faith, you got to have that. Because I'm going to tell you something, the devil's doing everything he can to tear you apart. And he's doing it through Facebook, social media, everything that he can, your job, the people that you're around. He's trying everything he can to tear you up. You have got to have somebody that encourages you in the faith. Because if you don't, you get burned out. Before you know it, you'll be out of it. Amen. Is everybody all right? All right, not only do we need someone who encourages us in the faith, but I notice this about Onesiphorus. He's somebody that embraces you and your failures. It's easy to be a friend with somebody as everything's going good, but hey, are you a friend of somebody when their life's in shambles? I say, where do you get that from? Well, I'm glad you asked. The Bible says this, and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. Paul's in prison. Paul's in chains. And Onesiphorus, who encouraged him, refreshed him off, searched him out and said, I'm not going, I need somebody to help me right here. I know the devil's beating you down, and I know right now he got a stranglehold on you, but I want to let you know I'm not leaving you. He sought me out. He came, he was not ashamed of my chains or my bonds. That's the kind of person, I need somebody to help me. That's what you need. How many of you know we all got some problems? How many of you know we all got failures? Right? You need somebody that's going to be your friend, Jesse, when you have a failure. It's easy to be somebody's friend when they're doing everything that you expect them to do. It's another thing to be a true friend and a brother that loves another when they're in trouble and they've made a mistake. All right? I don't mean you got to wallow in their mistake, but it also doesn't mean that you turn your back and run off from them. We all need that Onesiphorus in our life. Man, this is preaching better than I thought it would. We need someone who encourages us. We need someone who embraces us in our failures. We need someone that engages in our focus. And I preached this sermon. I preached that sermon. Some of you may even have it written down in your Bible. If you don't, you need to, all right? That way you won't raise your hand and say you never heard of Onesiphorus before. All right? The Bible says this. He says, he sought me out and found me. He sought me out very diligently and found me. And the Lord granted unto him that he may find mercy in the day of the Lord. And how many things he ministered unto me. See, Onesiphorus made Paul's business his business. I'm going to go over here. Onesiphorus made somebody else's business his business. Not only did he encourage him, not only did he embrace him in his failures, but he engaged with him in his focus. What was important to Paul? Ministry. What did he do? He ministered to Paul. Does everybody see that? You need somebody like that in your life. Brother Edwin, I need somebody. You need somebody that's going to encourage you to continue on and to grow spiritually. Not going to try to change your focus. Not going to come up and say, Jesse, now you ain't got to go to preacher college. Need somebody that's going to come up and say, hey, Jesse, what can I do to help you get through preacher college? Hey, is everybody all right? Hey, Jesse, what can I do to help you? What can I do to minister to you to help you become what God wants you to be and help you in your purpose with God? You got to have them kind of people in your life. I need somebody to say amen. And the fact of the matter is that we don't have enough Onesiphoruses in our life. There was two times. Remember, there was two types. You had one, the Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron, but the other one said, be not deceived. Evil communications or evil company corrupts good manners. And there's a lot of us that we've not grown to the place that we need to spiritually because of the people that we're hanging around with. We don't have a Paul in our life, somebody that'll hold us accountable, somebody that'll lead us, somebody that'll help us and give us knowledge, somebody that'll make sure that we're following the path because we don't want accountability. But when you move that and then you don't have an Onesiphorus in your life who's going to encourage you and try to keep you moving in the right direction, then you end up with no authority and somebody pulling you away from God. It's good. It is good. It is good. All right? So, we all need a Paul. We agree with that? We all need an Onesiphorus. You agree with that? All right? Now, how do we find an Onesiphorus? How do we find them? I just said it. How do we find them? By being one. Absolutely. If you'll encourage somebody else, I promise you, you'll find an Onesiphorus that'll turn in turn encourage you. So don't complain about not having one if you're not going to be one. Everybody all right? That's like saying I ain't got no friends when you're not a friend. Amen. Amen. Preacher, don't ever come out to eat with me. You don't ever ask the preacher. All right? Is everybody all right? Don't get mad because the preacher didn't come to you and beg you to. I need somebody to help me. We've had people leave the church because they walked by me and I didn't shake their hand. Did you? You know what? Hey, I had somebody come up and say that. I'm as serious as I can be. He called me up upset. I'm talking about a grown man. Called me up upset because I walked by him and didn't shake his hand. Just couldn't believe it that I wouldn't shake his hand. I stopped him. I said, let me ask you something. I said, did you shake mine? And this is exactly what he said. Well, I didn't think about that. Oops. Yeah. He done burnt that bridge too. I mean, done went through his little rant. And then I poured that on him and Ooh. I realize some people, you come in here and your main focus is to finding your seat. But I promise you, I got about 9 million other things on my mind. If I miss out, it ain't because I don't like you or I hate you or anything else. I promise you, I got more things going through my head than you don't want to know what I was going through my head. I'm doing, hey, I got all kinds of stuff going through my head and I'm trying to keep it focused on God. All right? So understand that. We all, if you want to be a friend, you want a friend, be a friend. If you want an Onesiphorus, be an Onesiphorus. You know what his name is. Mr. O. Everybody all right? I preached this at the Bible college about Mr. O, all right? That's what I called him. I said, I ain't even going to try to say Onesiphorus every time. It's Mr. O, all right? Everybody needs a Mr. O. Somebody that encourages them in the faith. Somebody embraces them in their failures and somebody that engages them in their focus, all right? Now, last, and we're done. We're preaching fast. Y'all enjoying this? All right, I know it's different, but we're preaching fast, all right? So this is what we need. We got to have a Paul. We got to have an Onesiphorus. We got to have a Timothy. We got to have a Timothy. You got to have somebody that you're investing in. You got to have somebody that you're pouring into. For a parent, it may be your children. But you got to have somebody that you're pouring into. Now, don't say, well, I'm pouring into my children if you're not pouring into your children. What is the definition? What do we need to be pouring into them? God, as much as you can. So the question is this. Are you sitting down? Are you pouring into your children? Or is it just, hey, you know what? I'm providing a house for them. I'm providing a meal for them. Bless God, I buy groceries for them. Amen. They got electricity. They got water. Let me tell you something. As a mama and daddy, that's a responsibility that you took on when you decided to have a youngin. But you got to have a Timothy. What did Paul? Paul didn't birth him. Paul didn't give him a place to stay. Paul didn't pay his electric bill. Paul didn't pay his cell phone bill. What was it that Paul did for Timothy? He poured his life into him and discipled him. So you got to have someone that you've evangelized. Is everybody all right? We need a Timothy, someone we have evangelized. Paul said this about Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, verse number 1, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. You know why he referred to him as his dearly beloved son? Because Paul had led him to the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned or the sincere faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Paul, this was somebody that he had evangelized. Is everybody all right? Y'all got to say amen, or we're going to bog down right here, and I'll preach for an hour, man. I've got sermons on this, all right? Hey, who is it? Who is it that you have led to the Lord? Say, well, I don't know how to go through the Romans Road. Well, what did God do for you? I need somebody to help me. Tell me, did Paul, with a King Agrippa, did Paul say, hey, let me break out Romans chapter number 3? He hadn't even wrote Romans chapter number 3. What did Paul say? I was on my way to Damascus to kill Christians. A light shone right about me, knocked me off my horse. I fell on my face. And all of a sudden, the Lord started speaking to me out of heaven. My life changed. Somebody help me. What is it? A testimony. Why do you have to have something? Why you got to be all knowledgeable about the Bible? You know what God did for you, or you don't. If God didn't do nothing for you, then you need to be saved. But if God did something for you, then tell somebody else about what God did for you. You got to have somebody that you invite. Who are you pouring into? We're to make disciples. Who are you pouring into? You need to have a Paul in your life. You need to have an Onesiphorus in your life. But you have to have somebody. You need to have somebody that you're pouring into. Why? Because it holds you accountable. If I have to pour into somebody else, that means I'm going to have to be willing to learn too. Man, y'all getting quiet on me. So we need somebody we have evangelized. We need someone we educate. Educating the doctrines. 2 Timothy 2 verse 2. He says this. I'm going to read verse number 1 and 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So Paul says this, the things that thou have heard of me. That means that, come on, y'all, help me. Paul taught him. I'm not going any farther until we can get this point. Is everybody all right? Paul poured into Timothy. Not only did he evangelize him, but he educated him. The things that you have learned from me. Is everybody all right? Verse number 15 through 19. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. He was pouring into him. He was teaching him. So the question tonight is, do you have a Paul in your life? Do you have somebody that's an authority? Somebody that's leading you? Somebody that's an example? Somebody that's passionate about your betterment? Somebody that'll hold you accountable? Do you have an Onesiphorus? Somebody that's going to encourage you? Somebody that's going to embrace you in your failures? Somebody that's going to help you and engage you into your focus? And then do you have a Timothy? Somebody that you have evangelized? Somebody that you have educated? Someone that you encourage? The Bible says in chapter number 3 and verse number 13, the Bible says this, but evil man and seducer shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. He is encouraging him to continue on. He said, yes, things are getting worse, but continue thou in the things that thou learned. You got to have somebody that you're pouring into. Somebody you've evangelized, somebody that you're educating, somebody that you're encouraging to keep on, and then somebody that you engage in, someone we engage. All right? Not only do we have somebody, do we need somebody, a Onesiphorus, who's engaged in us and our focus, but we got to be doing the same to somebody else. All right, how did he do that? I want you to listen to chapter number 4 of 2 Timothy in verse number 1. He says, I charge ye therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. He says, man, do something. I need, come on, y'all, help me. I'm begging y'all to help me tonight. I got to have somebody that I can look up to. I got to have somebody that's going to be that example for me. I got to have somebody that's an authority in my life and that's going to hold me accountable. I got to have that person in my life. I've got to have an Onesiphorus who's going to come along beside me and he's going to refresh me oft. He's going to encourage me. I got to have that one that's going to embrace me and he's going to search me out diligently when I'm in prison. I got to have that one that is going to engage in my focus and minister to me and help me to continue on in the work that God has given me. But I've also got to pour into somebody else. I've got to evangelize somebody because I'm supposed to make a disciple. I need to evangelize somebody, and that means not just evangelize and get them saved and dump them out on the road. I also have to educate them. I've got to do something in their life. Pour into them the things that thou hast learned of me, Paul said. The things that I have taught, somebody's got to teach them. Somebody's got to take time. You got to pour yourself into somebody. Is everybody all right? You got to encourage them. I know things are bad, but continue thou in the faith. And then you got to engage them. Hey, preach the word. Make full proof of thy ministry. Keep going. Endure affliction. Keep going. I need somebody to help me. We got to have that. We got to have those three people in our life. So where is your life lacking? If you don't have a Paul, let's find one. Like somebody that you can look up to. There's somebody to help you along. And if they ever get to a place where they ain't helping you along, there's somebody else that can help you along. I need somebody to help me. But if you're going to hang around with buzzards, I need somebody to help me. You ain't going to soar like eagles. Better be careful who you're hanging around with. You need some of these forces in your life. Not somebody that's all drama, somebody that's all negative. And if you're that type of person that's a negative person, let me encourage you to change that. Well, I don't know how I can change that. Sure you can. You can change that through prayer and encouraging somebody else. The problem is you like being ugly. I ain't talking about ugly as in appearance. I'm just talking about being ugly to people. It makes you feel superior to somebody if you can look down at them and I need somebody to help me. Humble ourselves. Submit to one another. Love one another. Make it a point to love somebody. Make it a point to reach out to somebody. Put somebody on your mind, write it down, and that week, reach out to them. Maybe not just once, maybe several times, reach out to them. Why? Because they need an encourager in their life, and that just might, in turn, I need somebody to help me. You just might reap what you sow and find an Onesiphorus in your life. But then you got to have somebody you're going to pour into. Can't pour into somebody if you ain't going to study God's word. If you ain't going to get in there yourself, you're not going to hold yourself accountable, then you ain't going to. But you got to have that person in your life. Who are you pouring into? The Bible says we're to make disciples. That doesn't mean that the preacher's supposed to fill up the church. It doesn't mean that the preacher's supposed to be the one that evangelizes. The preacher's supposed to be the one that disciples. That means all of us. We're to be disciples and then we're to make disciples. Just practical preaching tonight. I know it's all over the Bible. It's just practical preaching. Do you agree with it or not? So now we got it all on our plate. Now what do we do with it? She's coming to the piano. What are we going to do with it? What are we going to do? We got to apply it. If we ain't going to apply it, then why even come to church on a Wednesday night? If we find out the truth and we know the truth, then we got to do something with the truth, or there ain't no reason in knowing the truth. You agree with that? So what are we going to do? What do you need to do? We have the knowledge. And with that knowledge comes a responsibility. What are we going to do with it? Tonight with heads bowed, maybe there's somebody in here needs a pause. Maybe you need somebody in your life that can help guide you, help lead you, mentor you, encourage you, hold you accountable. Maybe you need an Onesiphorus. Maybe you need to be an Onesiphorus. You need a Timothy. Some of you mamas, some of you ladies need to pour into your daughter-in-law. Need to pour into your daughter. Some of you men need to pour into your son, your son-in-law. Be that for them. I wonder if there's somebody here tonight, be honest with the preacher and say, "Preacher, there's never been a time in my life where I've been saved. Preacher, if I was to die tonight, sitting where I'm sitting, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. If that's you tonight, I want you to do me a favor and look right up at me so I know how to end the service. Preacher, I don't know where I'd go to heaven if I was to die." Is there anybody like that? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. God, I'm thankful, Lord, for a wonderful church. Thankful, Lord, that God, you bring messages like this to us, Lord, that we can learn, apply to our life, and become better Christians for it. Now, Lord, I pray that we take what we've heard. Lord, I pray that, Lord, we would move forward, submitting to our Paul, submitting to one another, being an Onesiphorus to somebody and having an Onesiphorus in our life. God, I pray that we'd pour into somebody else, a Timothy in our life. God, help us to apply the truths of your word, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.